Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I am Dr. Courtney Gutman, the TIPQC Infant Medical Director. In honor of National Breastfeeding Month, joining me today is Dr. Sarah Beth Erickson. Dr. Erickson is a pediatrician and one of the nation's first physicians certified in breastfeeding and lactation medicine. She has recently founded FLO, the Tennessee Center for Breastfeeding Medicine. We are so honored to have you join us today and your willingness to share. Welcome.
Hey, Courtney. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm thrilled to be here and to be talking to you today.
Well, tell us a little bit more about yourself and your work. You've been practicing medicine for quite a while. How did your journey into breastfeeding begin?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I have been practicing out of training for over 10 years now. So it has been quite a wild ride. But, you know, as a general pediatrician after my residency program, it did not take long to realize, you know, we see families so much in that early postpartum period for their newborn visit and weight checks. And we were on the front lines of all of the questions that families had about feeding their babies. And I was very passionate about human milk and how good it is for infants, but I felt very ill-equipped for a lot of the triaging and the help that families needed. I felt like I didn't have the time or really the expertise or the scope of practice even to care for moms in a short well child check. So that really kind of seeing that gap in real life in my practice was what compelled me to get a lot of extra training to better understand these challenges, to better understand the lactating breast. And I started incorporating it into my work in a general pediatric clinic and found that I was doing more and more of that and enjoying it tremendously. So I got my IBCLC in 2016 and joined the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine. And I kind of like to say the rest is history. I've just done more and more over the last decade until now. It is all that I do in my practice. And 2 years ago, lactation medicine did become a formal and board certified subspecialty. So it has been really fun to just see the evolution of the field and to be here for the very beginning of physicians kind of moving into the space formally.
Oh, I love that. You find your passion and you find the gap it fits, and then it just goes from there. So tell us more about the work that you are doing now, kind of on the day to day.
Sure. So in January, just earlier this year, I opened my own independent private practice here in Knoxville. And that was really so that I could continue to do the work that I had been doing, but to have it available more broadly than to just patients, you know, within a single practice. I felt like this was a need that families, you know, across the state have, families everywhere and across all racial, ethnic, social groups. It was a pretty consistent need I saw everywhere. And so now my current practice, it's very unique because we have dyad care. And what that means is that we see moms and their babies together, both as our patients in a single visit. We review their medical histories, take their vital signs, and examine both of them relevant, you know, to the concerns that they have before we create their care plan. And it includes both mom and baby, both parts, you know, of the breastfeeding dyad. And, you know, it's been really fascinating. Families think they're coming for breastfeeding help, and they are. But we have really been on the front lines of detecting, you know, a lot of postpartum complications, things like postpartum hypertensive emergencies, babies at risk for serious bacterial infections, broken bones, just all kinds of things. And we're able to coordinate their care, you know, back with their OBGYN, back with their pediatrician. And so we're able to complete that communication loop, which a lot of times is missing for families and makes a huge difference in their postpartum care experience.
That sounds great. Such a need for our community that we're so grateful that you stepped into. Can you tell our audience what is the clinical difference between a lactation consultant and a medical doctor specializing in breastfeeding medicine?
Yes, and that is such a good question. It's probably the most common question that people ask me because lactation consultants have been doing this work for a very long time, and they are so incredibly important for supporting breastfeeding families. The difference really comes down to training backgrounds and the scope of our practice. So lactation consultants who are IBCLCs typically are healthcare professionals like nurses, dietitians, practicing health professionals, or individuals that have completed a certain number of health science courses and then do additional education and training hours, which is a tremendous number of training hours caring for breastfeeding families. A lactation consultant's scope is really to give support and counseling about all of the things related to lactation, but they cannot diagnose or manage medical conditions, order lab work, or prescribe medications. And so that is the scope of the medical provider. So a lactation consultant may be caring for a family and need to say, you know, you're going to have to go see your doctor for this or the pediatrician for this, if they can come to the ceiling of what they're able to do, or the patient needs more complex care management from the beginning. And so a breastfeeding medicine physician is someone who has attended medical school, graduated from a residency program, and has pursued additional training specific to the lactating breast and the breastfeeding infant. And just recently, like I was telling you earlier, a 2-year fellowship track has become a requirement for board certification through NABLM, the North American Board of Breastfeeding and Lactation Medicine. We have the scope of practice to see both members of the dyad, both the mom and the baby, which is a huge benefit to families. So they're not, you know, having to go to different doctors for different parts of the breastfeeding challenges. It can all be managed in one place.
So such important roles for everybody there.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And like most things in medicine, you know, we're a team-based approach is often where families really get the most benefit, when we're all kind of working to our strengths.
So true. What are the most common biological misconceptions that parents have about milk supply and production?
Oh, it's a great question. In the era of social media, I think most parents expect that they are going to have milk as soon as their baby is born, and then they quickly expect to have a freezer stash full of extra milk that the algorithm has told them is normal. Like everybody has a deep freezer just full of milk for their baby. And so I've found that oftentimes they do not know how to navigate those first few days when mom is making colostrum only and feel a lot of pressure to supplement with formula, even if it's not medically indicated, because of that perceived need for volume for the baby. And then they have even less confidence about protecting breastfeeding through that process. So a lot of, you know, just misperception around what is a normal milk supply. Moms, yeah, what I tell people, you know, a normal milk supply is normal. And that is between about 25 and 30 ounces per day for a term baby or 1 week old. And so it's uncommon to have a huge surplus of milk. And So we talk about that a lot in my clinic. We do a lot of reassuring families that normal production or, you know, having just enough is in fact the most common thing.
That's great advice. I certainly could have heard that back in my breastfeeding days. How does breastfeeding medicine address complex clinical issues like severe mastitis, infant tongue tie, or lower milk supplies?
That is a great question because those three challenges even, they really represent kind of the bread and butter of our specialty. I thought it would be helpful. I'll give you the example of low milk supply because I think everybody will see how this framework kind of applies to any concern that a patient would have. But when a family comes in concerned about low milk supply, one of the first things we do in my practice is look at the maternal medical history for risk factors. We know that diabetes, hypertension, preterm birth, multiples, mood disorders, advanced maternal age, infertility, obesity, all of those things are risk factors for low milk production. I talk to moms about their pubertal breast development, breast changes during their pregnancy, and what medications that they have been on, both in the past and in the present. And then we review the birth history together. Was there a postpartum hemorrhage? Was mom, you know, separated from her baby after birth? Was there a delay in her, you know, starting to remove milk with a pump or with the baby? And then we do an exam in our clinic. I always examine the breasts, looking for indications of breast hypoplasia, surgical scars, chest wall abnormalities, so that we can, you know, see if there may be an indicator even visually on the exam of what may be contributing to the supply concerns. And then I ask moms to see if they can express milk from their breasts. Are they able to use their hands or a pump to remove milk? We do a similar thing for the baby. We review their medical history. You know, what was their gestational age? Do they have medical conditions that would impact their ability to remove milk effectively? And then I examine them to look at their tone, the function of their tongue, their range of motion, how they're growing on the growth curve. And then I couple all of that together along with, you know, how often mom's removing milk, how she's removing it. Is it directly at the breast or with a pump, to kind of get a clinical picture of where the issues may be. And depending on what we find out, our plan may be conservative initially with just changes to their feeding routines, or more comprehensive, looking at lab work for underlying medical conditions. I've seen patients who this has been their reason for coming in. It was a supply concern, but the ultimate diagnosis was a maternal thyroid disorder or a pituitary infarction, a medication that suppressed lactation, another pregnancy even. So there's really a huge differential diagnosis for that concern.
So really trying to dig down and get to the bottom of the problem, and then you start troubleshooting from there.
Absolutely, yes. So it's a very kind of comprehensive look at both mom and baby from the medical side, and then drilling down to, based on the unique story, where the problem points may be and where we need to explore a little further.
Sounds great. What does the latest medical research say about the long-term health impacts of breastfeeding for both parent and the baby?
I love talking about this. It is something I think is so fascinating. The research is really compelling about the cardiometabolic benefits for mom and baby for the rest of their lives. And I think a lot of our parents, they're very familiar. They've heard, you know, how good that human milk is for their baby. But most moms, and certainly most partners, have never heard how good that breastfeeding is for the parent, for the mother. We know breastfeeding can decrease the risk of postpartum bleeding. It decreases lifetime risk of cardiovascular disease like hypertension, stroke, coronary disease. It decreases the risk of breast and ovarian cancer for moms. And so for women, especially that have, you know, pre-existing histories of those already going into the pregnancy, or family members that had breast cancer it can really be compelling to them to hear what a difference that this can make for their risk. For babies, it's equally as compelling. You know, babies that have human milk have a decreased risk of mortality in their first year of life. I love Dr. Ware's study that she did with the CDC a few years ago. I know she was at TIPUC talking about it, but it's really just amazing how it does impact that mortality risk for infants. They have decreased lifetime risk of obesity and overweight by up to 25%, which is just, wow, it's really amazing. And breastfed babies who are breastfed exclusively can miss up to 30 to 50% less daycare. So for working parents, you know, it can be a tremendous benefit in missing fewer days from work and having a baby who's in the doctor's office less frequently with all of those illnesses in the first year of life.
It should never surprise us that there's nothing more effective at healing and preventing the body than the body itself and letting to do its natural processes. And it's incredible just to hear and understand the impact that has on both the mom and the baby.
For sure.
What are the primary reasons parents stop breastfeeding earlier than they intended?
The literature says that it is mostly concerns about milk supply, like we've already talked about, and pain or unresolved pain that is pretty significant. I think that's interesting. I certainly see that in my practice, but what I see most frequently myself is that actually frequent like early bottle exposure in the immediate newborn period seems to create bottle preference that really undermines mom's ability to ultimately get that baby back to the breast successfully, which then can create a situation where moms are needing to exclusively pump to remove milk. And that can be very challenging, you know, for families to sustain long-term because pumping is, it's very challenging. It's tiring and moms are not getting that benefit of having their babies skin to skin. So there's a little discrepancy, I'd say, from the evidence based on, but between my evidence and my own experience, but those are the things certainly I see most commonly.
That's interesting. How do you think partners, family members, and the broader community at whole can provide effective, practical support to a breastfeeding parent?
Well, we know partner support is the strongest predictor of meeting breastfeeding goals. So I love including them in prenatal visits, postpartum visits, and making sure that I answer all of their questions because they are the ones that are with the mom and baby at 2 o'clock in the morning when things can be very difficult. So getting them to be part of the plan and on board makes a huge difference. And I think that they really appreciate being a part of the visit. But since, you know, a lot of this audience is going to be a healthcare community, I'll also say I've found there is such a huge need for increasing our knowledge around how lactation impacts the patients that we care for in our practices, from medication safety to post-op recovery, imaging studies, and more. Before we give advice to patients who ask breastfeeding questions to us, just stopping to kind of ask ourselves, is this evidence-based, this advice I'm about to give? Or what does the most recent research say? We have so many tools now that are just right at our disposal. We really have access to that information very quickly. So I would love to see more healthcare workers just making sure that we're giving the latest advice to our patients and having a little bit more breastfeeding knowledge in our own pockets.
And hopefully as your field becomes broader in scope and impact, we will get more of that education and training programs.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of interest in the field, which is really encouraging. And I think, you know, just like we interact with so many different specialties around our patients, having access to people who do have that really deep knowledge in the field can certainly make people more likely to ask questions or run things by each other, because we're there to support each other. We all want what's best for the patient and their long-term health goals.
Absolutely. So true. How does the pressure to breastfeed impact a new parent's postpartum mental health? And how do you navigate that in your practice?
I think parents feel pressure around feeding in all directions. And we talk about this very often and very proactively in my practice. Women who have a history of mood disorders, we know, have a higher risk of breastfeeding difficulty. But the opposite is true too. So women who have difficulty breastfeeding are at higher risk of developing postpartum mood disorders. And so I cannot encourage people enough to have a prenatal breastfeeding visit. I think it's one of the most important things families can do, because it gives us the opportunity to prepare them proactively for challenges that they may face and gives them the ability to anticipate that and be a lot less derailed by it when it happens. But at the end of the day, I educate all of my patients that my opinion is that the most important thing a baby needs is a mentally and physically healthy parent who can provide a safe and nurturing relationship with them. And so a mom's ability to delight in her baby, to enjoy her child, to make that eye contact, to mirror a smile back and forth, is absolutely paramount. And so if moms are struggling around the pressure that they perceive to breastfeed, or sometimes it's the pressure to formula feed or to wean early, I'll ask them, what are the times that you are most able to enjoy your baby? And is feeding in this way that you're feeding currently, is that helping you connect with and enjoy your baby? Or is it coming between that? Is the feeding actually making it harder for you to enjoy the season of life that you're in? And that answer is going to be very unique for every family and every situation. But for me, that's kind of always what I come back to, is really trying to help my patients be mentally and physically well so that they can have that nurturing, loving relationship with their child.
Yeah, that's beautiful. What are the biggest challenges you see with breastfeeding, and what type of support or suggestions do you offer moms?
I think one of the biggest challenges around breastfeeding is how time sensitive a lot of these challenges are. You do not have 2 weeks to get in to see a specialist if your baby will not latch to the breast, or you have an active wound that's bleeding and you're hurting really bad. It feels like an emergency and you need help right then. So I think the time sensitivity really creates the urgency to find help. So then families may not know who to call or who to ask for that help, which can be very kind of confusing and frustrating for them. I think in an ideal world, everybody would have access to lactation support. And in Tennessee, we have a tremendous blessing in that we have access to the breastfeeding hotline 24/7. That is a resource that I hope every family knows about and every healthcare provider knows about. We should definitely have the link to that in the show notes. But if a family needs help, a lot of times, you know, they have to go see a lactation consultant or find one to come see them. They may need to get back in touch with their OBGYN or take the baby to see the pediatrician. And so there's a lot of visits represented in trying to find help to get an answer quickly. And they're already exhausted physically, mentally. They've just had a baby. So I think those two things kind of converging together can create the perfect storm for feeding-related challenges. So the suggestion I give to families in terms of overcoming that is to really think about this before you need the help, before you're facing the challenge. So we talked earlier about prenatal breastfeeding visit, I think is a wonderful thing to do. ACOG recommends that every pregnant mom gets a breast exam and has breastfeeding education, anticipatory guidance as part of prenatal care. So that's something every family needs. But then think about ahead of time, you know, if I need help feeding my baby, who am I going to call? And go ahead and have in your mind, you know, what are the resources in your unique community? And then go ahead and put, you know, the breastfeeding hotline on speed dial on your phone, because that's one that everyone here in Tennessee has access to.
Such a great point to already have a plan for your troubleshooting. So when it happens in the middle of the night, you're ready.
Yeah, because when it happens, you're just very fatigued already. You're stressed. Your ability to really think through that is a lot more limited. So it can make all the difference in the world. And kind of ask, you know, polling the community, your friends, your family. That's a way people tend to really like, you know, sharing information, is to get their friends on board. Who did they ask for help? What did they find really made a big difference for them?
Absolutely. Great advice. As we celebrate National Breastfeeding Month, the U.S. Breastfeeding Committee is excited to announce that the 2026 National Breastfeeding Month theme is RISE: Resilience, Interdependence, Self-Determination, Empowerment. This year's theme was crafted to capture the heart and strength of the first food field. Each word in the acronym was chosen to highlight our network's strengths as we advocate for the policy, systems, and environmental changes necessary to create a landscape of breastfeeding support for every family. Dr. Erickson, how have you seen the breastfeeding landscape change over your career? And what hopes do you have for the future of breastfeeding medicine in East Tennessee and the U.S.?
Well, I think it's been really exciting to see the medical community recognize this now as a board-certified specialty. There is a tremendous amount of need for us to really understand the lactating breast as an endocrine organ, and for physicians to know how to diagnose and to treat challenges related to the breast and the breastfeeding baby. So it has been a huge joy for me to get to see, you know, a need I perceived in my clinic as a newly graduated pediatrician kind of come full spectrum to be official subspecialty. I love now just seeing the interest that medical students and residents have in our field. I get a lot of questions about, you know, how I got into this work, and even have residents come and do a rotation with me who want to see it and experience it firsthand. And that seems to really impact their future career. Even if they don't go into breastfeeding medicine, it impacts their confidence and their ability to care for a mom and baby together, to troubleshoot simple things at the bedside. And so I'm very hopeful for just the ongoing ripple effect of that, of physicians and healthcare workers acknowledging that this is really important and as part of helping keep our communities as healthy as possible for as long as possible. We need all hands on deck.
We do. I love that answer. And I'm just so proud of the center that you've created there. What a blessing to our community to have your expertise for both mom and baby and their success in this lifelong important skill they're both undertaking. Thank you so much for joining today's discussion and for sharing your expertise. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
If anyone listening would like to learn more about the work that I do, social media is a great way to connect. I share a lot of information for healthcare workers wanting to better learn about breastfeeding medicine and how to support moms and babies in their clinics. On Instagram, Dr. Sarah Beth Erickson, and that's where people can also find my practice. So we could link that in the show notes so people can find me there.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, Dr. Erickson, and happy National Breastfeeding Month.
Thank you. Woohoo!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's T-I-P-Q-C.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.